Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland. And today I'm doing a solo episode because it's about some news that broke the day before I record this episode. I'm recording on February 5th, 2015. And on February 4th, 2015, FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler made a statement outlining the Federal Communication Commission's plan, the FCC, for reclassifying internet service providers as common carriers here in the United States. But you might wonder what that actually means and why people are making a big deal out of it. So I thought I would explain what common carriers are in general, how they apply to the internet, or don't apply, up till now anyway, and how this might change things in the future. And also just to clear up some misconceptions about the whole thing. So first, in the United States, the term common carrier is a legal definition. That means an individual, a company, or a public utility like municipal buses, which is in the regular business of transporting people and or freight. And that's distinguished from a private carrier, which only transports occasionally or as a one-time only event. So it originally referred to a physical conveyance of carrying people or cargo from one place to another. In fact, in the United States, this was first put into law in the Interstate Commerce Act of 1887, which regulated the railroads. Other countries have had similar policies dating back hundreds of years. Some of them are formally put down into law. Some are just simple traditions that have held over over the course of time. But over time, the definition here in the United States has expanded to cover services that carry more than these physical things. They can carry intangible things like voice communication. Now, one of the most important facets of common carriers is that they are not allowed to discriminate against passengers or cargo. They're legally bound to carry all of them as long as there's enough capacity. They also have to have the fee to carry the passenger or freight to be paid. I mean, that has to happen too, so they don't do it for free. And as long as there are no reasonable grounds to deny entry. So in other words, let's have an example. Let's say there's a city bus with plenty of seats available. That bus would not be allowed under common carriage laws to refuse service to a person who has bus fare unless the bus driver had reasonable grounds to deny entry. So let's say that the person who wants to get on the bus is waving around a huge club and singing Beach Boys songs at the top of his lungs. So you probably wouldn't think that guy is safe to let onto your bus. You might be able to argue those are reasonable grounds to deny entry. However, assuming that that person waiting for the bus shows no reason why you would deny him or her entry, you have to let that person on by the rules of common carriage. Another important element is that common carriers are expected to charge what is called a reasonable price, sometimes a just and reasonable price for their services. So this really means a common carrier can't charge one person more than another person for no good reason. Now, there are good reasons to charge different amounts in specific examples. So let's say you are a freight company, for example, and you're hired to transport hazardous materials. That could justify a higher transportation fee for that particular job because it comes with greater risk than what it would normally be for, you know, regular cargo. So there are exceptions, but otherwise you couldn't say, I'm going to charge everyone in this town one price to ride on my train, but everyone in this other town has to pay this other price only because I hate that town. So that town has, everyone there has to pay me more, as I don't want them on my train otherwise. That would not be allowed. So let's move ahead. In 1910, that 1887 act was modified so that it also covered telegraph and the burgeoning telephone companies. One of the issues customers faced in those early days was a lack of assurance that their telegraph messages would actually get through to their intended destinations. So some companies were charging extra fees to ensure that the message would be repeated all the way down to the end of the line. Now, courts decided that was an unfair practice, that a customer has a reasonable expectation that a service provider will actually provide the service that was paid for, and the customer shouldn't be charged extra just to be certain of it. Moreover, it should be on service providers to prove they are doing their job, rather than the burden being on customers to prove that the providers are falling short, because the providers are privy to all the information, so they should be the ones who have the responsibility to prove that they're doing what they say they're doing. And another issue was the fact that the telephone system in the United States was effectively a monopoly. Bell Telephone, which became AT&T in 1885, got a head start on other companies and laid out an infrastructure that only worked with the phones made by Western Electric. So you had this partnership between Bell Telephone and Western Electric, which effectively meant they were the only players in town. If you were an independent telephone service company, your phones would not work on the Bell Telephone infrastructure. So that edged out competitors. And in 1913, Bell Telephone and the U.S. Justice Department worked out a deal to limit Bell from scooping up independent competing companies and from preventing other competitors from using Bell's long-distance lines. They were allowed to use Bell's network. This was in response to an antitrust lawsuit that was being brought against Bell Telephone, and in order to head it off, Bell Telephone said, you know what, we're going to change these policies we've had so that you don't sue us. And it worked. The value of the service was considered to be too important to allow unregulated control of it. So that's where we started seeing some regulation enter into the telephone industry. Now, there's a series of Tech Stuff podcasts about the history of AT&T in which Lauren Vogelbaum and I explored how AT&T came about and how it was split up more than once due to concerns like these. So if you are interested in that, you should go check out those episodes. Now, getting back to the telephone industry as a whole, in 1934, Congress passed the Communications Act, which created the Federal Communications Commission, which oversaw radio transmissions as well as telecommunications. So this is what established the Title II that the FCC refers to today when it comes to ISPs. They talk about reclassifying ISPs under Title II. This is the act that classified telephone systems as common carriers. It's been amended several times over the following decades, including extensive alterations that were made during the Telecommunications Act of 1996. So let's move on to transmitting computer data over networks. In the 1970s and 1980s, before most people knew about a network of networks, you know, ARPANET was a thing, internet was becoming a thing, but most people didn't know about it. The common way to connect to a computer was to use a modem for direct machine-to-machine connection over the telephone system. So you would have a dial-up modem, and you would use it to dial a phone number. The computer on the other end would essentially answer the phone, and then you would have computer-to-computer communication. But it wasn't an internet, right? It wasn't a network of networks. It was this machine-to-machine communication. Regular computer data was considered a transmission service and fell under Title II, which meant that any transmission service cannot be prioritized. It can't be discriminated against. It all has to be treated equally. But there were specific services companies provided in which you could connect to a computer to get particular information, like a weather report or stock information or sports scores, things like that. These were considered to be enhanced services. So this was classified under Title I of the Communications Act, which is unregulated. So the transmission was regulated, but these specific services were unregulated. The enhanced services didn't fall under common carriage terms. Companies could charge a fee for customers to use them that would be on top of any phone bill for use of the transmission lines themselves. Okay, so let's say a phone company offers up its own enhanced service, and some other company offers a competing enhanced service. The transmission of data falls under common carriage, which means that phone company could not prevent customers from accessing the competitor's enhanced service. That would be unfair. So this is the beginning of the concept of net neutrality. The 1996 Telecommunications Act redefined enhanced services as information services. It also ratified the differences between transmission services and information services, putting into policy what the FCC had sort of made up as it went along. So the transmission of services met the terms of common carriage. The telephone company treated all dial-up services the same, all had equal access under the system, but the actual services, the apps that people were accessing, those were enhanced or information services.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's not confusing enough. Let's move into the early era of broadband. This is when we start seeing dial-up modems fade away and DSL began to arrive. Now, the FCC continued to apply the distinctions made during the telephone era. The phone companies would have to carry DSL signals as common carriage. They couldn't discriminate against them. The apps or services running on the DSL connections were unregulated information services. And then we get to 2002. Now, this is when cable TV companies began offering transmission services of internet data at high speeds, at least relative to dial-up speeds at any rate. And this is where things get muddy. See, the FCC classified cable broadband service under Title I, not Title II. That means both the transmission of data over cable and the information services provided would be unregulated. There'd be no reason for regulation there because it's all under Title I. So why not treat cable transmission of data the same way as the telephone system? Well, it largely comes down to politics. At this time, Republicans had a majority in government, and they favored deregulation. And the reasons for favoring deregulation was that they thought it was going to promote risk-taking and competition and innovation. Though in reality, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, if you look at the Bell telephone system story, that kind of shows what happens with deregulation, and it required the government to actually come in and intervene in order to avoid a monopoly that could completely take advantage of customers. Well, in 2005, the FCC said that DSL would also be reclassified under Title I. So this makes the whole situation even more complicated. Telephone systems are still Title II, but DSL and cable are now Title I and are unregulated. Now, this meant that cable and DSL companies wouldn't have to ask permission to incorporate fast lanes for the internet, so they could give preferential treatment to some customers over others for a fee. And because Title I is unregulated, there also was no fear of the FCC butting in should a cable or DSL company block data they didn't want to carry, such as data from a competitor or from torrent sites. So, you know, we talked earlier about the common carriers. You know, one of the defining factors is that they cannot refuse service as long as a person is able to pay the fee. If it's Title I, it's not a common carrier, and so it can deny service. So if you own the transmission lines and you have a content provider like YouTube, and you think, I've got my own content provider program where people, users can upload video, and I don't want to compete against YouTube because YouTube is going to make my tool obsolete. I'm just not going to allow YouTube to go across my transmission lines. Technically, you could do that under Title I because you're not a common carrier. You're not obligated to carry all legal information. Beyond that, there was no requirement for cable companies to provide services for a, quote, just and reasonable fee, end quote. They could charge whatever they wanted. So in 2008, things came to a head. The FCC fined Comcast because Comcast had blocked peer-to-peer traffic through BitTorrent. Now, first we have to keep in mind, there's nothing inherently illegal or immoral or unethical about BitTorrent. There's nothing wrong with the technology. It's a method of data transmission that works well for large files. Peer-to-peer is great if you're trying to move a huge amount of information in a relatively short amount of time. Now, some of those files were pirated material. They were illegal files, and there were plenty of huge files that were legal. They should have been able to transmit freely, but because BitTorrent was being seen as the pirate tool, Comcast blocked it. So the FCC gets involved, and the FCC says to Comcast, hey, you can't do that. You can't just block this stuff just because you don't like some of the activity that's going on over there. And Comcast responds with, oh, sure we can. We're not common carriers. We're classified under Title I, not Title II. And the FCC says, and it goes to court, and the courts end up agreeing ultimately with Comcast. The FCC doesn't have the authority to regulate cable companies because they're classified as Title I, not Title II. So that's why there's now this move to reclassify ISPs under Title II instead of Title I. So the argument for reclassification is that it will require ISPs to play fairly with content providers and with customers. The companies will have to adhere to the rules of Title II and will come under the regulation of the FCC. So a company like Comcast, which isn't just a transmission service provider, but is also a content provider, can't favor its own services at the expense of others. However, even in this proposal, FCC Chairman Wheeler has suggested that the FCC would forbear or waive certain elements of Title II not directly associated with net neutrality, which includes the requirement to share networks and on rate regulation. So while cable companies wouldn't be able to block legal content or prioritize traffic for sites for a price, they could totally continue to charge customers whatever they like for their services. So some people object to reclassifying ISPs as Title II, like the cable companies. They really object to it. Now, they say that if the cable companies ISPs are reclassified as Title II, the internet will become heavily regulated, and innovation will be stifled. But the flip side of this is that it'll be a fair playing ground. So if we had access to lots of competitors in the ISP space for service, I wouldn't be really concerned about deregulation. Because we could always switch providers. If we didn't like the service, if we felt they were being unfair, we could look to a competitor. And in fact, that competition could drive everyone to being as fair as possible so that they didn't run off their customers. But the truth of the matter is that many people, including myself, have very limited choices when it comes to ISPs. In some cases, there's no choice at all. You have one option. You either go with this company or you don't have internet. Now, that's a problem with dealing with an effective monopoly. The consumer loses out. And the cable industry claims that this regulation is going to discourage those companies from investing in infrastructure because it will hurt revenue to have regulation. They said that if the government determines how much money we're able to make, then there's no reason for us to try and innovate and build out our infrastructures. On the other hand, it encourages new players in the space like Google Fiber, which is investing huge amounts to bring broadband speeds to households in certain markets. So if the cable companies wish to keep their customers, they'll have to compete with the newcomers, which means that it does encourage investment in infrastructure. It just means lower profits. That's really what these big companies are afraid of. So they either continue to compete by building out this infrastructure, or they get out of the game entirely, which I don't think is a likely outcome. Now, as for excessive regulation, I don't anticipate that being a huge problem. I think we're more likely to see the FCC watching to make sure cable companies follow the rules under Title II, should that reclassification actually happen, which isn't a sure thing yet. I mean, we're going to see a lot of resistance from those ISPs. But I'm curious to hear what you guys think of this issue. Do you agree with this? Do you think that this is going to lead to true net neutrality? Are you upset that the FCC is willing to forbear certain elements of Title II in order to placate ISPs? Do you think the whole thing should apply? Do you think the whole thing is outdated because it was originally meant for railroads and now we're applying it to the internet? I want to know what you think. I personally am really looking forward to seeing net neutrality become a codified thing in U.S. law. I think it's well overdue. But I want to know what you think as well. Write me. My address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com or drop me a line on Twitter, Facebook, or Tumblr. The handle at all three is techstuff, HSW, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.